plans are changing drastically every day as we face the worldwide impact of COVID-19. More than ever, we need to be reminded to lift our eyes to the Lord, who alone remains constant. Join now Pastor George Small and a special guest as they set aside this time to remind our hearts of the unchanging truth found in God's Word. Now let's join Pastor George Small.
Good evening. You are listening to Renew FM. It's now 6 o'clock, and I get the privilege of being with you over the next hour. I will have a pastor here joining me in a few moments on the phone, and we're going to just spend some time discussing different things about the Lord and about the Bible, but all with the intent to encourage you. And my heart through this program is to turn people to the Lord, as you just heard in the introduction, is to turn people towards God at an hour like this. To look to the Lord. Our world is right now, there's so many uncertainties and things are shaking and things are changing, and we don't really still know where this is all going to go, this COVID-19 pandemic. We don't know what the outcome will be financially, economically for our nation. We don't even know really when this virus will finally start to really subside. There's different assumptions and analysis and all that, but we really still don't know. So we're in the middle of a storm, and I'm sure if you're working, your life is a little different. If you're a student, your life is a little different. In some ways, our lives are also very different, depending on the different factors of our lives. But this time of COVID-19 is certainly quite a thing that has come to our planet. So we want to use this hour to encourage people to turn to the Lord, and that means different things. To turn to the Lord obviously can require turning away from things too. If you look at the principles in the Bible, to turn to the Lord, it isn't just adding God into my life as part of other things, but it's really turning towards Him. And that often means for people turning away from other things, turning away from what I want, what I do, or my own appetites and desires at times. You know, it's turning to the Lord. And we want to encourage you to turn to the Lord, because He is a rock to turn to at this time. He's a merciful, loving God. He's also a rock that in the storm you can stand on. He's our hope, and He's a God that loves us. So we want to use this program to encourage people to turn to the Lord. I think of Proverbs chapter 14, verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. And maybe just a few weeks ago, you're going along in the world, and maybe you even know Christ, but there's really that sense of lack of that sense of the awe of God in your life and submission to God, and going along just really doing your own thing every day. And now He's got your attention. And the fear of the Lord, to fear the Lord, to really put Him number one in all that we are and do, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. And I want to encourage through this hour that we have today and into next week, the different pastors that will be on and hosting it or with me being interviewed or whatever it might be, is to remind you to turn to the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. The proverb continues, to turn one away from the snares of death. And we can be going along in life and just doing our own thing and be on a road that really in the end is leading to death and destruction. Or for a Christian, down a road that is leading to, you know, just a life that is not very fruitful to the glory of God. A life we could even be ashamed of when we see the Lord, because we're so wrapped up into the things of the world and not really following God. But the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, and it turns us away from the wrong path. It turns us away from the wrong way of thinking. It turns us away, as the proverb says, from the snares of even death. And so you look around today, and coronavirus, incredible, a couple million cases of it in the planet today. There are many cases right in our local community where we are broadcasting from. I pastor a church. There are people in our church, at least one individual I know of, that has COVID-19. I know of people, their parents have died, or good friend or brother, and it's all around us. That's the reality, and we're wondering when this is going to come to an end and how it's going to work out. In the middle of it, we want to encourage you here at Renew FM to turn to the Lord as a Christian more passionately, more seriously, or as somebody that doesn't know the Lord, to turn to Him finally and to stop going away from Him or resisting Him or ignoring him, but finally to turn towards him and to make him the Lord of your life. And we'll continue to talk about that over this hour. Well, again, you're listening to Renew FM, and you can listen online. You might be listening online, or you might be listening to one of our radio broadcasts around in different places. And you can also check out our Facebook Live page, too. And the second half of this program, depending on how it goes, we may take in calls. We'll see how that goes. But we may not also, based on the interview. I guess we'll wait and see. But the fear of the Lord, to turn to the Lord and to seek him and to know him and to follow him and to love him. That's what the proverb here tells us. And in some cases, you know, I think of Jeremiah, God warning the nation. It was a scripture that was on my mind when I was moving here many years ago. But a message for, I felt, was a message for the people of New England. You look at New England and just the great spiritual heritage there is in New England and all the revivals, we could talk about that. And yet a time where it seems that's more of the past than the present. And so Jeremiah telling us to turn and consider the ancient past and to turn back to those ancient paths. And so I think of that scripture. Well, we're going to now go to the phone lines and have our pastor friend here join us. Pastor Don, welcome to Renew FM.
Hey, thanks.
It's great to have you, and I've been praying for you. I've been thinking about what we can be talking about over this next hour to encourage our radio listeners. And I've got some thoughts here, and I'm sure you've already got some thoughts in your heart. And but thank you for joining us, and it's just a blessing. And, you know, Don, we've been doing this for a couple of weeks, and different pastors have been joining and sharing. A lot of times it's the same thing, you know, that we don't have to fear, that there's peace in the Lord. And these sort of thoughts we've talked a lot about, and you know how God is merciful and gracious. We certainly shared a lot about the gospel, which is important. But I've been thinking about the need to also warn, and you know, to warn the church about changing our way, right, and to live the right way. And I've been thinking about that a lot in the last couple of days, and I thought maybe today we can talk about these things. I think there's a warning. There's a good warning for the church. And, of course, there's a warning for the world and our nation around us as we look around. And I wanted to talk to you about that and talk with you about that, get your thoughts, and, of course, anything else that you want to share and encourage our listeners with. But I'm going to read a psalm to you, Don, and also to our listeners. But it's Psalm chapter 85, something I just encouraged our listeners with, our church people with recently. But Psalm chapter 85, verses 68, and it's these words strike to my heart, and I think it's a good word right now for the people of God in America and in New England. But starting with verse 6, the psalmist says, "Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly." And then those words at the end of that passage, and the context in Psalm 85, you know, is the, it seems it's after the Babylonian exile. They're back in the land. God had punished them. God had, even the nation was decimated. They're off in exile. Yet God still had good words for them. He wasn't done with them. He had to discipline the nation. And in, you know, in Babylon, God sent Jeremiah with even the words of peace to encourage them. I've got, you know, seek the peace of the city. I want to bless you. I have thoughts of good towards you, to prosper you. And they're now back in the land, and you know, they are able to come back and rebuild houses and city and their nation. But the psalmist crying out in the middle of that, God, would you not revive us? Would you not revive us? Would you look, Lord? And he says, well, I'm going to stand and listen to what God is going to say. And I know God will speak peace to his people. God will say good things, but at the same time, let them not turn back to folly. And I've been thinking about that. What do you think, Don, some of these thoughts as we get started? I'm going to let you share a little bit here. What do you think?
Sure. I think that's really a fitting psalm and a great verse because, you know, I know many times in my life that I go through the same school of grace. A lot of times it's like I don't learn my lesson. And I think it really is a wake-up call for the church. I mean, if judgment starts in the house of God, it gives us an opportunity to really evaluate and see what we're made of. I mean, how are we dealing with this? Because as I'm looking, you know, this is kind of a foretaste of certain things that are going to happen. And so it's one thing for us to say, you know, intellectually, especially if you talk about eschatology and end times and things like that, and to nod about it and just talk about signs or what have you. But when push comes to shove, where are you with the Lord? And these are the kind of things that really should get us to evaluate, because, you know, America's had it. Sometimes our blessings are the source of our curse, because it's so easy to take things for granted. You know, the church in America cries over its spilt champagne while the rest of the world is struggling with issues that we don't even can't even relate to a lot. So it's really important that we really honestly seek the Lord and say, here I am in this situation. What should I be doing? Where am I falling short? Because I see a lot of people wringing their hands, and that shouldn't be the church's response. We're the ones with the answers. But so often we're just so compromised in our walk that we're not being who we're called to be. We're not animated by the Holy Spirit. We're just kind of, you know, it's real easy to be self-centered in such an indulgent culture.
Well, Don, that is a good word. And, you know, I want to apologize to you and to our audience. I didn't really introduce you. We got started. My mind is on different things. But just so our radio audience knows, this is Pastor Don Roach, who spent a good number of years pastoring in New England and the Berkshires and so forth, Springfield area, and now is in Florida and ministering there. And I've known Don for a long time, and he knows New England really well. And so, Don Roach, my name again is George Small, and I pastor a church here in Central Mass, two pastors. So we've spent a lot of time, known each other for many years in New England. And I hear you, Don, loud and clear. And I do agree that, you know, we have the wrong focus in a prosperous culture and as Americans. And we can really be very dull in our thinking, spiritually dull, dull in our hearts, and really missing it, man, really missing it. And just going along thinking that, well, life is supposed to be comfortable. Life is about being a good person and having a good family. And there's no fear of God. And there's a lot of compromise in what we sit down and watch and what we sit down and think and do, and no fear of God, and not a powerful, like you said, you know, under the unction and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because we're really not close to the Lord. It's easy to do that in a prosperous world. And the challenge for us has been that, and suddenly the world is shaking, and it's not the same anymore. And so I hear you. Let them not turn back to their folly.
You know, it's like we're all about grace, and if it weren't for grace, there'd be no hope. And the last thing I want to do is come across legalistic. But on the flip side, we should be convicted in the area of our personal holiness. And it seems that's kind of what's easy to just kind of lose sight of. You know, there's no intentionality. All you got to do is nothing, and you just kind of morph back to your old self.
Yeah, I think that is what has happened in times past in our country. We've referred to it quite a bit these last couple of weeks, and I would imagine you would often in your life has referred to it in the last 20 years. But September 11th, you know, what was happening in our churches, was happening in the nation. But as soon as life got back to the way it was, now suddenly, you know, it seems the church is more focused on the Red Sox than Jesus, you know, and then more focused on the Gulf, or more focused on, you know, redesigning the kitchen. You know, that's the heart of the church in New England, rather than fearing God and loving God. And it's really a challenge. And obviously, as you and I are talking, we're in the same boat. I mean, I can't look down at anyone. I recognized it many times. It's my own challenge in a prosperous culture. I remember going to the church in India, and I know you've gone and spent a number of years going to Africa and going to and spending time with these believers in India. It was quite a thing, you know, even in some of these slum churches where they are so passionate for God, and for hours, you know what I mean, in a really hot sweltering in the middle of a slum in their church, but so and willing. I remember hearing some young men, you know, just sincerely praying about, you know, Lord, I want to die for you. I want to live for you. And very different heart. And then you come, and here we are in the prosperous world. Well, things are changing, so it's a different situation now.
Yeah. And hopefully, you know, we go to school on this where we need to be corrected. And again, the last thing I want to do is come across judgmental. Like you said, this applies to each one of us. But hopefully we go to school on this, because the truth of the matter is there's a lot of people hurting and there's opportunity all around us. And if we're kind of, you know, if we're in a self-centered focus, then we're going to walk by windows of opportunity. You know, the thing about ministry is there certainly isn't a lack of hurt around us. And so, you know, it's not like we're sitting there saying, oh, Lord, if only I could help someone. The people all around need to be encouraged. And if we have hope, then, you know, that seems to be what the world is missing. And so it's so important that we can't really be projecting that hope if we aren't realigned with it ourselves. You know, it's kind of like parenting. Some things are caught more than they're taught. And if we're really believing and living it, then they're going to see that that's what we're made of and that it's real.
Yeah, amen. And, yeah, our children are watching our lives, and or our grandchildren, or just our neighbors, uh-huh. You know. And if we are lacking the life and overflow of the Holy Spirit in our life, it's a real tragic situation, because the world needs to see a church that is truly alive in the Spirit. So, Don, what would you say then to you? You know, you've pastored multiple congregations, and what would you say to them now? How would you tell them to? How would you encourage them in this hour to live for Christ?
Well, you know, there's this trap that the enemy uses in our mind sometimes. I'm trying to think of the name of the book there that C.S. Lewis wrote there, when Wormwood is talking. He talks about the law of undulation, and what it's kind of this. We always think like where things are is the way things are going to always be, and when we think that way, we lose sight that God is still on the throne. You know, when you look back in like Isaiah chapter 6, in the year I saw Uzziah, or the year Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted on the throne. Uzziah was a king. A lot of people, you know, he made people feel very comfortable. He had a good reign. Yeah, he messed up a little at the end. But, you know, his death must have shaken a lot of people. But then they saw the Lord, or Isaiah saw the Lord on the throne. So I think the thing that, my point is that we need to be mindful of his sovereignty. You know, none of this has God pacing the halls of heaven. Right? He's still on the throne, and he uses these things for his good. And we just need to ask, Lord, what is my takeaway in this? Humble me so I can be what you want me to be. Because sometimes, you know, when the ground shakes, everyone looks up. And this is really our opportunity, because the drowning man clings to whatever floats. And there's a lot of people that are honestly looking for answers with a little more depth than they have been before. You know, as a pastor, I know you know what it's like to talk to somebody who really doesn't want, who isn't intellectually honest, just rather has it's more of a pride fight. And that's so frustrating and annoying to deal with. But now in the situation, people are honest and looking for answers, because some people are scared. And so I would say this is, if you're looking for an opportunity to serve the Lord, if I could be put in a time somewhere in that timeline and where I'm really could make a difference, it's like, this is it. We just need to maintain an eternal perspective and not get so caught up in, like we talked about, our indulgent culture. I think a lot of people are kind of like, you know, the fat caterpillar that says, you know, I got leaves around me. As far as the eye can see, life is great. But the truth of the matter is, no, we've got a transition to go through. It's not about the fat leaves. We were designed to become a different creature. And we just need that eternal perspective, because the thing that's going to really bring us down is that temporary perspective and thinking that we're going to be stuck in the way things are. Things are going to be changing, and God's got plans. There'll be new crises, and there'll be new delight. And what we need is, people need to see spiritual stability in us. And like Chuck used to say, being filled with the Spirit is not about how high you can jump, but how straight you can walk. So really, I would encourage my congregation or people, I would say just, you know, seize the moment and just go back to, like George was saying, the ancient path. Go back to what you do know is solid. You know, be in his word. Take your prayer life seriously. Ask the Lord to equip you, because he'll always equip you to do whatever he calls you to do.
Thank you, Don. Yeah, those are good words. And as I'm listening to you, I wanted to even get more specific. You have answered the question really well, but to go even now more specifically, we got people listening and, you know, wondering, you know, just the way the Christian life can go. You're going along, you're trying to, you know, just going along. You didn't mean to get distracted. You didn't mean to get wrapped up into that. You didn't mean to ignore the Lord for, you know, a couple of weeks and never turn to the Bible. You know, life, right? You go along and just the way we are. But now in this time to prepare, that this time is going to end, it seems. I believe the return of Jesus is really close, but let's just assume the end of May or whatever they might be telling us. You know, who knows? Maybe here in New England and Florida, May, June, we're starting to go back to work and go back to the summer, and students are getting ready for the fall again and to go back to school. So we're getting back, and the storm seems to be quieting. What would you tell your church right now and the people right now in the storm, how to make sure, because of our hearts, that what to be doing, getting in order right now, so back then when it starts to get easier again, or may seem that way, or the storm may seem to have ended, or at least changed, what do you do to make sure you don't return to your folly?
It's a good question. I think, you know, a lot of times we need to focus on what we do know is right. If it's one thing that this should do, because one thing this does, it shows us what we're made of, whether we're really other-centered or not. You know, I mean, we could be sitting here lamenting over something minor. Meanwhile, our neighbor down the street really needs groceries. And we have these incredible opportunities to make a phone call and say, hey, can I get you something? I'm going to the... I mean, there's all kinds of ways to reach out. And I think what the best thing we can do is to invest in our relationship with the Lord, obviously, and invest in our relationships with one another, because sometimes, you know, the enemy likes to divide us and conquer, and we get isolated. So one of the things is that we really need to be accountable to one another. You know, George, I've known you for years, and you're a man of conviction, and I can call you if I'm struggling with something, because I know you share the conviction, and you're not a condemning person. So we need to work on the relationships with people that will hold us accountable, people who we really agree, you know, with their conviction on things. And I think that's really key, because, look, be it by death or by rapture, you know, we're going to be with the Lord. And we have our whole life to prepare for death. And it seems like everybody's always blindsided by it. And that's really not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be making the most of it right now, working out our salvation, working, you know, doing these things. And I think we just need to really have that eternal perspective and share that eternal perspective. Because all I got to do is nothing, and I can be really caught up investing myself, my time, my resources in things that just really don't matter. And if I got a brother or sister who can come up to me and say, you know, in the end, does this really matter? Then, you know, that's going to convict me, and I'm going to have to appreciate them for that.
You know, as I'm listening, Don, thank you. What I'm hearing is things that are very intentional. You're talking about being intentional about, you know, connecting with people, serving people, and making an intentional change in decisions in your life. And so as I'm listening, and that is it, isn't it? It is right now in this season, so that I learn from it and I don't miss the moment. I make the most of it and realize what is going on. That, okay, well, let me look at my life and look at my priorities. Well, it's been all maybe about me. Maybe I look at it, it's been all about me. My checkbook proves it. My time proves it. My mind and heart proves it. My relatives and spouse would tell me that's true. Or, you know, so that's what it's been all about me. And that's a real tragic situation if Christ returns and it's been all about me when he gave his life for me. So in this storm, now it's about others. And I want my life to have purpose and meaning. So, Lord, how do you want to use me? I want to figure that out and be hearing your voice, and I want to go forward. I want my life to have a different focus, and it's not me, it's others. And then obviously, as you've been talking about, to be a man of the word and a woman of the word and people of prayer. I mean, how many times, right, Don, did you encourage your people to get into their Bibles and you wondered if they really do and would, you know?
Yeah.
And it's quite a thing because, as you know, that soul transformation that happens when you're along with God, it all happens there, man. You know, I've even thought before, I've even said this so many times, if I can get people at home reading their Bibles and praying, then it pretty much all automatically will happen from there. If I can just get that going,
if
they would just do that, everything else will happen. But if they don't do that, then you're always dealing with a situation, an individual. The very core thing isn't in order. And to miss the moment and to go on and still just be vegetating in front of the TV. See, I read a proverb at the beginning about, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And, it's the fountain of life, but it also keeps us from the snares. Well, there's so many snares that we are all getting caught up in around here. We sit down, we didn't mean to, but turn on the TV and we thought, I'm going to just, you know, eat my sandwich. And there goes 4 hours and you watch things you never thought you'd watch. It was a snare. You stepped right into it and your internet, and it was a snare. It got you all riled up, the news article or the image. You know, it's all these snares. And the fear of the Lord, to seek him, to make him the priority. Number one. Yeah. Amen.
I agree. You know, a lot of the things that we step in, snares, are a lot of them, they're not even like necessarily bad. Some of them are, but some of them are just such distractions. We just want to be amused, you know, not amused, think. We just want to tune out and not really engage our mind. And, you know, if, like you say, if the congregation is in their word, if they're in prayer, I mean, I know I sound like a doctor that doesn't care and say, take two, call me in the morning. But the truth of the matter is, if you're busy about prayer and you're busy in the word, and you, that means something to you, and you focus it and you integrate that as a habit, then you won't have to call us in the morning, because God's going to be dealing with all kinds of issues in your life. Yeah. And you'll be able to see this personal growth. And so it's, I think the issue really, we just need to say, okay, Lord, what about now? What do you want me to do now? You know, what opportunities are there? And the thing is, a long time ago, the Lord kind of convicted me in a certain area. And I'm not one of those that hears from the Lord clearly. I know a lot of pastors are like, and God told me this. I only have a few moments where the voice was really clear. And one time in my life, he basically convicted me of my apathy. And he said to me, do you know or don't you care? And he didn't give me any wiggle room. It was either or. Either I didn't care or I was ignorant. And I painted myself in a corner, you know, with those words as I was meditating on it. And I realized that the sin of apathy in my life, I'm really not as other-centered as I should be. I'm really not as Christ-like as I should be. And an apathetic Christian is a pathetic Christian, because we're called to be Christ-centered and other-centered.
Well, those are great words, Don. And you can't see from the telephone, but we have a break in a minute, and I want to come back with you after the break and continue with this discussion. And I'd also like to go from then to church. What would you say to New England, having pastored here? What would you say to the culture? You know, I feel there's a warning, too, to America. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. And, you know, just the way you're viewing this world and what's coming to your mind and your heart, so we can encourage those that are listening. But I think of Romans 13, verse 11, with what you've said. And do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, as let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. That's a word to the church Paul is giving. But we're going to come back here. We're going to go right to a break. And we'll hold on, Don. We'll be right back. Well, this is Renew FM. We're back for the second half hour of our special time here together. We got Pastor Don Roach. We'll bring him back on so he can share his heart with you. But again, you're listening to Renew FM, and at a time that is a remarkable time, we want to encourage you to turn towards the Lord. So we're going to return also to our discussion with Pastor Don Roach. Well, Don, we got interrupted by the break, and but you know, you've had some further thoughts, I'm sure, as you've been waiting. And I thought I'd just get right back to you, give opportunity. If there's a final word, thought to say to the church, and then I want to move on with you and just talk a little bit to just the world, New England in general. So, Don, your thoughts.
Well, I think my final thought, I guess, in, as far as an exhortation to the church is what it always would be. It's like really ask the Lord to examine our hearts, to give him the power of veto in our lives. I mean, we want to be able to call him Lord, rightly so, and submit to his authority. It's tough because he might call you out on things. We all want spiritual growth, and we want fruit, but pruning hurts. And so he tends to be very specific. When we get specific with God, he tends to, like, push on that bruise, and we realize that that's an issue in our lives. So I've just kind of encourage and exhort the people to really allow God to lead them in some spiritual inventory. It's kind of like that little pamphlet, My Heart, Christ Home, a classic little thing. That's something we need to be doing continually.
Yeah, that's a great little book, isn't it? Been a long, long time. It's been around. If you haven't read it before and you're listening right now and you haven't read it, it's a short book. If you get a copy of it, you'll read it in about 15 minutes. But it just makes that image, the story of Jesus moving into your home, your heart, but your heart is like a home, and Jesus going around from room to room and wanting to look in the closets, and you know, you want him to be at home, but you start to be embarrassed by what's hidden in this room and closet, and it's just a story, somebody, a way of depicting that what is in my heart that God wouldn't be pleased of that needs to go. I think of Hebrews, right? The scripture there in Hebrews 12. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, which is obviously church history and around the world today, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance that race that is set before us. So you're listening right now, and there's sin in your life, and you know as a Christian it shouldn't be in your life. And maybe that's been tolerated in the church for a long time, but you know Christ, and you're going to see him soon. Isn't it time to turn from that sin? Isn't it time to make things right? Isn't it time to fear the Lord? And then he says not just sin, right? He says weight, and weight is anything that slowed me down. That was my one sport when I was in high school, was track. And yeah, man, as a sprinter, I had the lightest clothes, these little spike shoes that were so, they're like slippers on your feet. You know, no weight. I needed to, no resistance. You know, I needed to run as fast as I could possibly run if I was going to do well. And what's the weights in our lives? What are the things that maybe they're not in and of themselves that are wrong, but they're weights that have been keeping you and I from living for God, and we're going to be with him soon and see him soon, and we're all caught up in these other things, right?
Amen. I think one of the things that convicts me a lot is that, you know, I look at the Bema Seat judgment, and where the believer is given rewards for the life that he's lived, and you know, I think we're going to realize at that point, I mean, it's supposed to be a great, wonderful thing. Wood, hay, and stubble goes up, but that which is true remains and endures that fire, you know. And I think as we stand before him, and he looks at us with those eyes of fire, that holiness that just kind of purges that which shouldn't be there. And I think I'm going to struggle with what could have been. You know, if I surrendered the totality of my being, because what happens, and like I say, it's not always bad things per se, but, you know, some things are obviously bad and you shouldn't get wrapped up in, but sometimes it's just a distraction that will pull you away. And what we don't understand is that it hinders our intimacy with our Creator. It hinders that. And it makes us less than what really could be. And if we and we'll understand that later. But God help us to understand that now, to count the cost. I mean, there's small, little, insignificant things that we might not think of, you know, like it really doesn't amount to much. But we, it's because we're not valuing the intimacy that we can be having with God.
Yeah. Yeah. And to value that is, again, to be so intentional, because it isn't something you take for granted. As you've said, it just doesn't happen. It now becomes my priority. To value it is to make God, in, you know, all his promises, his word, and the life he wants for me, the priority. You know, I gave a study a couple years ago on a New Year's, and it ended up being a few weeks. I didn't know that. I was looking out to the new year. This is just a couple years ago, and I think of it now, and I don't know, maybe I'll give it again. I don't know, in our church, but the end of Nehemiah, you remember the end of Nehemiah? And Nehemiah leaves town and goes back to be with the king. And here's this God-fearing leader that has really led the people to rebuild the walls. But as you remember, the book of Nehemiah, he leads them in revival, right? This revival breaks out with Ezra. And they even take this covenant, like, we're going to fear God. We're gonna take care of his house. We're going to do all these things we're supposed to be doing. We are doing it right. And he leaves town, and you don't know how long he leaves. And the study that I've given, and one of the answers I give, because I don't know the answer, but it could have been as long as 12 years since he left, when you look at different things. Because when he does come back into town, there are people now that are married to people they shouldn't be, and they have children that are speaking the other languages. You know, he was gone a while.
Yeah.
But what you remember when he comes into town, I've exhorted our church, what will the return of Christ be like? It's going to be suddenly for the church, right? The trump will sound, and we'll see the Lord. And John says in 1 John that, you know, and now little children abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may not be ashamed at his coming. And I took that text of Nehemiah because it seems he just suddenly shows up into town. If you look at some of the phrases where maybe it wasn't known. And when he gets there, what does he discover? He discovers,
right,
he comes to the temple, and here is a secular official who's moved in.
Yep.
And he throws the stuff out. And I exhorted our church that pressure was there all along from these enemies of God. And secularism is an enemy we have that wants to come in, and it doesn't see things as sacred. It wants to impact our minds so that we don't look at the world and what is sacred, all the things that God is and has said and has for us. And the battle for secularism is Christ going to return, and we're thinking more like the secular world than we are like God would have us think. And then you go on in the passage, right? And then it's the materialism, right? That he's, you know, they're doing the trading again, you know, on the Sabbath and the businesses. And Nehemiah gets really hot, man. He's like,
oh,
what?
Yeah.
Oh, he gets so angry. And the very walls that were destroyed because of that very sin before is the Jews, that they've now rebuilt and been come back in the land. They're doing the very walls and gates. They're doing the same thing they were doing before, after they even made a covenant. And so he gets pretty hot and deals with that. So, you know, I warned our church. There's secularism. There's materialism. What a battle for us right now. And if we're not paying attention, we're going to be ashamed when we see him, because we think like the world does. We don't think like a Christian. We are all caught up into the material. And then there's the social liberalism at the end of the chapter where, you know, they're married to these other nations. And for the Jew, that was wrong. God had a covenant with a Jew that they weren't to intermarry with other nations. And that was for them. And it was a key thing they weren't to do in order to honor God and to be what they are and to be this, you know, light to the world. And they're all intermarried with these other nations, right? And kids speak in different languages. And social liberalism, redefining, you know, what God has said is good for the church today. What is right? And it's the same battle. And I fear, like Nehemiah just suddenly coming into town, if the Lord comes right now, what will he think? What will he think? And you make me think of these things as I discuss this with you. So I just gave a little sermon, a little sermonette. But
it was a good one. It's a good one. In fact, when Nehemiah came back, and you know, one of the people, you know, was the son of the high priest, right? I mean, so it begins with us. You know, I'd love to say, you know, look at what they're doing wrong, but it's like, no, look what we're doing wrong. If it, you know, one of the things about ministry is that if you love people in ministry, you certainly need to love people, but is that God kind of calls you to speak the truth in love. And it's really up to us to be able to say, hey, this is what the word says here. You know, are you really counting the cost here? I mean, I want to generate light and not heat, but when we come to what the word is saying a lot of times people, you know, we love our sin. And so it makes it hard. You know, God told Jeremiah, it's like, you know, don't even, you know, look at their faces, the countenance, because, it, you know, if we start looking, God's word is uncompromised. And therefore, it begins with us. We need to be living what we're saying. And because if the leadership is, if their hypocrisy is evident, if we're going through the motions, if we're not prioritizing personal holiness in our lives, well, then, you know, that's why there's such accountability. We'll be judged on a stricter basis.
Yeah. No, Don, thank you. I've got a scripture here I'd like to share as I'm listening to you when you speak to leaders. And I had a couple of days ago an experience that I didn't anticipate, and it's even caused me to reevaluate how I'm sharing tonight. You know, we had started this out, and I wanted to encourage people in the middle of a storm. So these words of comfort, and those are words of peace, and that's the Lord. But then I wondered, too, if to even be more obedient to the Lord is to really exhort God's people right now to really make changes, because it's only prudent and wise to do it,
right,
and to get right. And but, you know, this I had this written in January in my journal. It just kind of stunned me to read it. But I was, you know, these sort of scriptures in Ezekiel, God looking for a watchman, and I was just watchman, and I was just writing notes, you know, God talking about, you know, my people don't know how to discern the times, but the birds of the air do, you know, and they're not paying attention. And the watchman, who's the man who will listen to me and share my word at this hour? And, you know, where are they? You know, it's that sort of heart that's repeated, as you know. And then I came to this one, and I wrote it on the January 18th in my journal, but it was something I had read a couple days before, and it just really struck my heart in January while I was seeking the Lord. But wow, it is an interesting scripture to read today as you think about shepherds in the church. And obviously, it's talking of leaders in Israel, but shepherds in the church. Here it is, Jeremiah 10, verse 21. For the shepherds have become dull-hearted and have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. I had that. That was the last scripture I had written. I had this time of seeking the Lord. In a couple of days, my heart was burdened, so I wrote out a couple, you know, a number of scriptures right in a row, and that was the last one. And I thought, that is really interesting to read today. The shepherds were dull-hearted. They've not been seeking me. They're not going to prosper, and their flocks shall be scattered. And I think of that, and I think of the hour in. And is it possible, as you were just saying, as pastors, we've been dull-hearted? It's so easy to become dull-hearted in a prosperous culture when you've got social media now, and you're doing more with that than you are reading your Bible, and you got the TV and all the channels, and you've got all these things going on in your life, in your house, and you're even a pastor of a church. And how closely are you engaging with the living God? It is so easy to become dull-hearted and not really to seek his face and know his heart. Well, God doesn't like that. He didn't like it with the nation of Israel, and their flocks were scattered. And it was interesting to read that and having written that in January. So,
yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, because again, all you got to do is nothing, and it's easy for people in ministry to start coasting. You know, if things look like they're going well, and that's a dangerous thing to do.
Oh, it definitely is a dangerous thing to do, and it's a dangerous thing to take the vibe of the world, to take the cues from the world. We can certainly be relatable. We want to be relatable. We want to understand the culture and what is the best way in the culture. But, you know, when Paul, I was reading in teaching through 1 Corinthians not long ago, too, and I've got to return to that when this storm ends and we get back in our church. But, you know, Paul, when he talked about going into Corinth, which you had all the intellect, all the rhetoric, you know, all the wonderful, you know, language, you know, philosophy and philosophers, when he went to town, he's like, I didn't give you any of that. And I think he could have gone there. He said, the message I had was the power, you know, the power of God. This very message is so powerful. I gave it to you straight. I was shaking. I didn't try to make it all. I just gave you the word of God, and the Spirit of God was with me, because look what happened to your lives, and that's what I did. And I think of that. I think of that, and I think there's a trap today, has been with the church too, where, I don't know, man. Sometimes I'm watching what the church is doing, and who am I? I'm just a goofball, so I got to be careful. But sometimes I'm wondering, man, looking around going, wow, you just seem, your likes on Facebook are really what you're trying to get. You know what I mean? Your tweets and your views, and I don't know, Paul, man, that's not the way the church was. You know what I mean? And he rocked towns and villages and had to run out of a lot of them. He feared God. And yeah, looking around and even at the shepherds, we can be dull hearted.
Yeah. And you know, that brings you to another thing. One of the great things that I loved when I was in New England, and it's not exclusive to, you know, you and I, but there's certain core of people that spiritually kind of understand trench warfare. And there's a bond, a friendship there, because you realize if you're really want to live for the Lord, you're going to lose a lot of friends. And you're going to lose a lot of people, even in the church, because some people resent being challenged, right? When it comes to, if you're going to teach the word, God's word demands a response. And if you're going to teach through it, especially expositionally, the way you and I tend to do it, then it's going to affect people, and they're going to have to deal with whatever ultimatum the Holy Spirit places there. You know, you're accountable to what you've heard. And what's awesome is that there's, up in New England, there's people in that their love is true. And it's like, they just want to serve God. And the church might grow, the church might wane, you know, things are going to happen, but their love is true. And that's one thing that I really miss with being up there, was the network of people that are up there that are just in it to win it. You know, you know that when push comes to shove, they'll die to themselves every day in that area. And that's just a precious, precious thing. And I'm just so grateful to have been a part of that up there.
Yeah. Thank you, Don. It's been a blessing to know you and to serve with you, too, in the years you were here, and to see you now and then when I get to in Florida. Yeah, so this time for reevaluation, I guess we're considering more of the church the entire hour than I thought we would, but that's good. But the, you know, the dull-hearted, I include my own heart in this time of a storm. There's a group of men right now in our church that we decided every day, let's do this every day. We're praying for each other. Lord, would you just renew us in the Holy Spirit? Would you do it, a new work, a fresh work in us? And we're going to do it pray every day that for 6 weeks. And then when we have our little time together again, we'll see how well we're doing. But we just need the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the fear of God, the love of God, and not dull-hearted. You know, what good is a shepherd that is dull-hearted? You know, what good is a servant that is dull-hearted? I mean, that's tough to move them and influence them and use them. But when you got somebody that, you know, loves the Lord and just wants to do his will above his own will, and somebody that really fears and weeps and when he wants, you know, with the heart, all that stuff, you know what I'm saying?
That's where it is right there. Because really it's a humiliation. People tend to avoid it because it's humiliating, but it's the thing that's really missing a lot of times is just the crushing humility. If you're going to get real with God, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. And a lot of times, you know, people don't want to deal with that. So we'd rather just kind of have a degree of control over things and project that image like we got it going on. When the truth is, what's missing, and really what I think the key to a spiritual revival and all of that, is just crushing humility.
I would agree with that. Humility and brokenness are such a big part, because we're naturally prideful. We're naturally just hindering the work of God. We're just too much of ourselves. It is true. Whenever there is revival, you have people who have learned to get out of the way. And there's often brokenness, then it has to come. You know, where I go low, John the Baptist, I must decrease so he can increase.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think with what you're saying too, I think of those words at the end of Psalm, you talk about it's not easy. But David, such a beautiful lover and worshiper of God, right? There at the end of Psalm 139, as he just declares all the things he does about God, but those verses, you know them well, but search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's a good word, I think, right now for the church.
Amen.
Because I don't know my own heart, and I can be so, you know, the heart is deceitfully wicked, self-deceived.
That's right.
So God, search me. God, I'm alone with my Bible, my journal, praying in the morning. I come back the next day. God, I might even spend some time with fasting during this time. God, would you? I want my heart. I don't want anything to hinder the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to be serious. You're coming back, and I want to live for you. See if there's any wicked way in me, and then would you then lead me in the way of everlasting? Well, we've got to, we go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm just amen. And I mean that's good stuff. That's the bottom line. Absolutely.
Well, Don, we've got just 3.5 minutes left, and so people are tuned in and people are listening, and we talked a lot to the church. And I guess I'd like to wrap this up and have you say a prayer, but what would you say to anybody right now? You've got just a couple minutes that's listening and wants to change and wants to do the right thing. And, you know, what would you say?
Well, I would say that, you know, that God really loves us, and his love isn't conditional based on who we are or what we've done. God is love. It's so the bottom line is, he says, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And so God's desire for you who are listening and struggling and just trying to connect the dots, and secularism is so confusing because, you know, we're taught everything's a matter of chance, and chance negates purpose. And God is all about a purpose in your life. He created you with purpose. And that is for you to know him and to experience him and to spend eternity with him in a completed state. But sin has marred that. And God doesn't want us to go into eternity in a marred state. And God can't compromise his holiness. So that price for sin, the wages of sin is death. Death is separation. If God is holy, then he can't wink. He can't make believe it's not an issue. And we all have sin. And so when Jesus paid that price, when he died on the cross, I never really understood what it meant, how it applied. But the bottom line is, God has given us, offers us, the gift of a righteous standing, righteousness, which we can't be by ourselves. I mean, nobody has deceived us as much as we deceive ourselves. But God has offered a gift of righteousness and extends it to us by paying the price that your sin and mine demands. And what God wants above all things is reconciliation. He wants you to experience the reality and understand that you are created with purpose, you are loved, and time is just a blip, it's a dimension, and you're going to enter timelessness. And he wants you to enter timelessness in a fixed, eternal, completed state. And that's why he paid that price. And so I would encourage anyone listening that, yes, God does love you, and you are created with purpose. And he says, it says in the Word, taste and see. And a lot of times we struggle because we think that's too easy. And, a lot, you know, we intellectualize things. But it's true. He does love you, and he did pay the price. And if you surrender and say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. No one has to convince me I'm a sinner. And I believe that when you went to the cross, you did it to pay the price. And forgive me of my sin. And I believe you rose again, which is awesome, because that means that sacrifice was accepted. Therefore, we are given that gift of righteousness. From that point on, the Holy Spirit of the living God dwells within us. We find ourselves to be new creatures, different perspective on everything. So that's what I would encourage people
Amen.
To do.
Amen, Don. Yeah, we've got about 15 seconds, and so that's a great way to end it. There it is. There's a Jesus. The Son of God's died for our sin, and we can turn to God in Christ. So give us a
Amen.
Call. We'd love to pray with you. 888-310-PRAY. That's 888-310-PRAY, but we're at the end of our time. Don, thank you, and God
Thanks.
Bless you and your family and ministry there in Florida. I hope to have you back on again. God bless you.
Thank you so much, George.
You've been listening. listening to Renew FM, and we're so blessed you could join us tonight for our live broadcast here with Pastor George Small. We pray this time encouraged you and helped lift your eyes off the chaos of the COVID-19 crisis and unto Jesus, who remains on his throne and who also is with you right now in this very moment. Join us Monday through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. You can also call Renew FM at 888-310-PRAY. But most importantly, we want to remind you that you can call on the Lord and receive the encouragement you need from His Word at any time. We invite you to join us next time on our live broadcast. And until then, good night and God bless you.